This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. 32, 24, Hut, Hut.
Hi, my name is Erica, and it's Thursday night, and I'm watching football, and I want to learn more about the refs. What do their tryouts look like? Also, how do they remain unbiased? Thank you.
Hello?
Hey, Erica, it's Flora from ELT.
Hi.
Are you ready to toss around the old lambskin? That's what it's called, right?
You can call it whatever you want.
Are you a big football fan?
I'm a big football fan. I started in middle school, high school, following my team, so I'm a fan.
What team do you root for?
I'm a Giants fan. Big Giants fan.
They're really good, right? Like, one of the best.
Yes. We've had a tough run the last few seasons, but yes, in my opinion, they are the best team.
How did you get interested in refs?
Yeah, I think when I called in originally, I was watching a game and a ref got injured. It looked kind of like maybe like ran and twisted his ankle or something.
That's like how I would go down if I were a ref,
yeah.
Tripping.
So I remember thinking, have I seen that before? Players get injured, you know, from time to time, but you don't really see a ref go down. And then I was thinking, okay, well, who is that ref? And then how did that ref get selected? And then once you're an NFL ref, what is the day-to-day? I imagine that they're just living and breathing football. And that's kind of where my thought spiral went.
Okay, Erica, we found someone who's got a grip on that spiral. And right off the bat, he recognized my deep interest and knowledge of the sport.
Okay, you know what football is?
I'm with you so far. I want to introduce you to Tom Simonette.
Hello, Erica.
Hi, Tom.
Tom is the perfect person to field your questions.
I'm a retired NFL official. I was a line judge in the National Football League for 17 years.
Wow. 17 years. Oh, my gosh.
17 years of living and breathing football, just like you said.
We miss birthdays, anniversaries, graduations, all kinds of things for the sake of football, because you're expected to put football first, especially during football season. That's just the way it goes. If you ain't dying, I'm not going to be there.
So before we tackle your questions, you should know that the official term for a ref is an official.
I would like to use the terminology that they prefer. So, official.
And Tom's official position was as a line judge. The line judge judges one sideline and the line of scrimmage,
Okay. Which
for the me's in the audience, that's where the two teams crouch head to head and prepare to bash into each other. So he's calling offsides, false starts, out of bounds.
That's an important job. Those are really important things to call and see, yeah.
Okay, so you wanted to know how an official gets their job. Here is Tom's story. He was an accountant and came to reffing as a side gig. He had played football in college and wanted to keep going, but when that didn't pan out, he did what all big-time athletes do.
I sat and sulked for about 10 years. So when I turned 30 years old, I decided to get up and off the couch and sort of get in shape a little bit. I thought one way to get in shape was to run around refereeing city rec games, and they paid me to do it. So I thought that was a pretty good deal for me.
Oh, yeah. That would get me into.
From there, Tom took his talents to peewee football and then high school football, where he picked up the basics and a love of officiating.
It was a thrill of the game. It was the feeling that you would get as a player. I also realized that I get that same thrill as an official.
From there, he went to college ball, Division II, then Division I. Picture huge college bowl games with tens of thousands of very vocal people scrutinizing your every move, ready to pitch you from the pitch if you make an error.
Sounds like a blast. No, that actually sounds like a lot of pressure.
Yeah, so there's a lot of incentive to do well, but at the time, there wasn't much guidance on how.
When I came along, there was no training program at all. There was no one you could call. There was really nothing you can do to improve yourself other than what you come up with.
That's crazy. I thought there would be a training camp or something.
Well, today there is an officiating development program, kind of like an internship for officials. But back then there wasn't anything like that. So Tom had to find another way to learn.
I got my hands on some old NFL training tapes, and I would look at those tapes over and over and over and over and over again.
Wow.
It was so bad, I knew the guy's voice in my sleep who's talking on the video. I could hear him talking to me about what I'm supposed to do, what I should be doing.
And that's how he trained himself on how to be an official.
Yeah.
Wow.
And as Tom got more comfortable in his stripes, he found himself becoming someone else on the field.
That's also another transition you have to make in your mind. You're no longer a fan. You're no longer a player. You're now an official.
Tom was a college official when he got his big break. The game he was working was Tulane versus Navy.
Well, I got discovered. Someone there from the NFL was watching the officials, scouting the officials. I didn't know they were there.
Tom was discovered by NFL ref scouts.
What? So they're scouts that are going out to different games and looking for the best refs to pull to go to the NFL.
That's exactly right. And they're just hoping that they strike gold in black and white.
Oh my gosh.
And they can appear at any game at any time. You just never know when. You never know who's watching. It's one of the adages that we talk about. You never know who's watching.
Interesting. What are they looking for when they scout?
Tom calls it the it factor.
It's no way to describe it. You just know when you see it. The same thing as a football scout looking for a player. You see it, you know he's got it.
Your ball calls and your flag drags are a big part of it, but Tom says scouts are also looking for other things too. Squishier things, like how you carry yourself.
Are you walking with your shoulders slumped over? Or are you walking with your chest out? Are you brown-nosing the people in the stands? Some people like to go in and elbow rub instead of coming in and doing their jobs.
But Tom liked doing his job, and he had it. So the NFL asked him if he wanted to take his flags to the Arena League and the NFL Europe League. And if you haven't heard of them, that's because they don't exist anymore. They're deflated, just like Aaron Rodgers' Jeopardy hosting career. And when the NFL popped the question, Tom was still working as a CPA. But it's the NFL, so FML.
They knew I was a CPA. They knew that my busy time was tax time. And they sent me to Europe April 1st. So it's like, what's he going to do? You know, it seems like you're always in audition mode with the NFL. What's he going to do?
I say, hell yeah. NFL says go to Europe. I'm going to Europe.
Tom made the same call.
You always say yes. So I told all my clients, if you want me to do your tax returns, you better bring it here now by this date, and I'll do your tax return over in Europe. So I was doing tax returns at airports, Germany, Berlin, all over there doing tax returns.
But it was worth it. Tom made it to the winner's circle and became an NFL official in 2004. That year, there were 120 NFL officials. They were all men and almost all white.
When I came along in 2004, around that time, the NFL had 19 black officials on the field. 19. And one black official retired. So I replaced him, so the numbers didn't change. It was very, very, very difficult to break into the NFL being a minority. Very, very difficult. It's still corporate America. It's no different for where you work, where you have worked. There's certain people who get hired based on who they know. There's certain people who would get hired based on the way they look. And people generally gravitate toward people who look like them. And it's just the fact of life.
Yeah, that's sad, but that I do believe. But he made it.
He made it. After the commercial break, Tom starts his new job in corporate America.
You see me standing there, and 2 seconds later, I'm gone. I mean, just like he just wiped me off the earth.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
At the UPS store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, we're back from our halftime break.
Yes.
It's 2004, and Tom's gotten called up to the major leagues. And even though he'd spent years training for this moment, he was not prepared for his first NFL game.
The biggest difference was the speed of the game. The speed of the game from college to pro is twice, if not 2.5 times faster. Everything was just moving. So when the game started, I couldn't see nothing. Just people running. I couldn't tell nothing. All that training I'm telling you I did, I saw nothing.
Oh my gosh. I'm picturing him on the field running, trying to catch up, call plays, call. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So the speed was one thing he had to get used to. And then getting shit on by the professional boo birds was another.
I went to Oakland one time in my early years. We come out of the tunnel for the pregame warm-ups. I can see this guy in this damn costume, the pirate or whatever he was, and I can see him 50 yards away. He's talking to me. I can see him talking to me. And he did not start talking until I passed him and I went the other way. And he cussed me as far as I could hear him, but he was going to let me have it that day. And, you know, I thought it was funny, actually.
I think I've seen that happen.
Tom's official take on fans is that he does not give a flying flag.
They pay to be there. We don't care what they say. We don't care.
Good. That's the attitude to have. Yeah.
What Tom did care about was doing his job well. And during his years spent whistling at large men in tight pants, he was constantly reviewing his own performance, trying to figure out what separates the best of the refs from the rest of the refs. First thing, mechanics.
Mechanics is, if the play comes toward you, or are you going to be in a right position out of the way so the play could continue on its own and you still have vision? Or are you going to be in the wrong place, meaning that you get run over?
And getting run over is not a hypothetical problem.
I got a couple stories about that. It was Miami at Chicago about 5 years ago.
Tom was on the sideline watching a play.
Well, it was an interception. So now they're going back the other way.
Oh, God.
Now, mechanically, I'm supposed to get ahead of this play, so the runner is behind me. Well, I turn to see who's coming, and the next thing I saw was a white light. I saw a white light. And the only thing I could say was, don't go to the light. Don't go to the light. It's the only thing I was thinking to myself, don't go to the light. And when I kind of came to, I saw green grass. It was like sideways, so I'm on the ground, almost to the wall. He knocked my ass almost to the wall. Nobody knew I was gone. They didn't know I was gone. So I found my hat. It was like, you know, on sideways, like Fred Sanford and them. It was like my glass was bent. My earpiece, I was like, all of my years of playing football, I never got hit that hard ever. I was knocked out.
That's scary.
That's scary there, man. You see me standing there, and 2 seconds later, I'm gone. I mean, just like he just wiped me off the earth.
Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine getting hit by one or more players. They hit hard, and they've got pads and helmets on. And these refs, they don't have anything on.
Ah, ow.
By the way, Tom didn't just finish that game. He didn't miss a play.
What? He kept going.
He kept going.
That's dedication.
So besides not getting your ass knocked out, a great ref also needs great judgment.
Judgment is working the football game so it flows. You need to call what you need to call. You need to pass what you need to pass on. Your judgment is how you want to insert yourself in the football game to let it flow or stop it. There's fouls that you can call on every play if you wanted to.
Huh. So how do you determine what to call?
So, is it good for the game? Does that call impact the game? A clear and obvious foul, you throw your flag, you stop the game. Something that is on the edge of being a foul and it has no impact on the play, you pass on it. You can also talk to people. Say, hey, big guy, you was offside. If you do that again, I got thrown, you know? I mean, this is a way to work the football game.
It's like you got to respect the rhythm.
Yeah.
I never thought about it like that. So what makes them stop and talk to a player?
So Tom had a great example of this. Apparently players like to give feedback to the officials.
Some of them do say you f***ing game up. I mean, some of them say that. You f***ing game up, big guy. Or what the f*** they paying you today? They say shit like that. And see, when they get like that, I got to address that. You guys f***ing game up, it's one thing. You motherfuckers f***ing game up. And now, we're not going to tolerate that kind of language toward us that way. And I try to give them a chance to get off the hook by saying, are you talking to me? And he says, yeah, you f***ing, okay. Then you throw your flag, you deal with him that way. You want to repeat what you just said? Yeah, you motherfucker. Okay, then you give him a chance to earn that flag. They understand that. I heard what you said. I understand you're upset, but I ain't taking that bullshit today. You want to say that again? He understands what that means. I'm going to ring your ass up. It's going to be 15 yards. Now the coach going to bring your ass, right?
Even if you have great judgment and great mechanics, Tom says you're never going to get everything right. And when officials at this level drop the ball, Tom says it's often because something unexpected happened.
It is 9 times out of 10 that he got surprised. It could be anyone does something that's atypical to the game or just unusual. That's when we make mistakes. We kind of say, damn, did he do that?
Something unpredictable happens and it's like an oh shit moment.
Exactly. And Tom had one of these oh shit moments his last season in the NFL. A running back was headed towards the goal line, and Tom was sure that a defender was going to make the tackle.
I just know he's going to knock him out at the half-yard line. I got to get a spot short of the goal line. Well, that didn't happen. The guy went into the end zone untouched. So now I'm like, did he score? And I didn't give him the score.
Tom didn't call the touchdown.
So they had to kind of start the game and do replays and shit. He scored. I said, oh, my goodness. Oh, Jesus.
It's like if you zone out for 1 second or you're focused in the wrong place for literally one second, you could miss a huge play that would affect the outcome of the entire game.
That is true. That is so true. There's the immense pressure to stay focused at a high level for 3 hours. That's really the challenge. Mentally, can you stay focused to know what you need to know, see what you need to see, call what you need to call quickly with confidence?
Yeah, that sounds tough for 3 hours, but like mentally, you got to stay mentally sharp. You can't miss anything for a second. And that made me think of something because there's so many more cameras, they go to the tape, this blade of grass was touching his knee. If you look at camera 7, so does it make it easier or harder for the officials?
So first of all, Tom agrees.
There's cameras everywhere. There's no job that you can know of where you're scrutinized play by play, slow motion, everything that you do all day long. No one does that but officials.
Because it's not just challenges or instant replays during the game. After the game, Tom's supervisors would evaluate every single play and determine whether Tom made a mistake. And then those mistakes or dings were tallied up.
That's one of the most nerve-wracking things that we go through is this grading process.
Oh my gosh. Do you know where you stand on the list? Like as a ref or as an official?
Yes, you know where you stand on the list.
Mm-hmm. What happens if you're at the bottom?
It's 17 crews in the NFL. So it's 17 line judges. If you're number 17 time and time again, then they're going to eventually replace you.
But guess what happens if you're at the top?
You call the Super Bowl?
Yes!
I worked Super Bowl 48. Seattle played Denver and New York.
Oh, that's cool.
It was 2014.
2014. I did watch that. I was in Charlotte. And I think that was the year that I threw a Super Bowl party. So I got to see Tom.
So after 17 years of putting everything behind the egg-shaped brown ball, Tom was ready to go back to single color shirts and let that lonesome whistle go. He left the NFL in 2021. These days, Tom is a coordinator for D2 college officials. He's trying to bring up the new zebra herd.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
That's a big deal for me, is trying to find new officials, particularly minority officials. A lot of people don't know, like I did when I came along, I wanted to be a player. There's another side of the game that you can get involved in at a younger age and get started sooner.
Find that it factor.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm picturing Tom surrounded by like the younger generation and asking questions, eagerly wanting to call NFL games.
So the Super Bowl's this weekend.
Yeah. What is his Super Bowl routine?
Tom's answer surprised me.
I've not watched that one single NFL game. Trying to wind down for football. I've been doing this since I was like 5 years old. That thrill I was telling you about as I felt as a player, I don't have that thrill anymore. Pretty much left me now. That's probably why I'm not in the NFL.
I'm shocked, but I get it. You've been living and breathing football for decades. I get it.
Will you watch Sunday's game differently?
Yes, definitely. I will be probably on a couch somewhere in front of a TV, all my snacks in hand, wings, buffalo chicken dip. Keep an eye out for all the officials, looking at their reactions when certain plays happen, and we'll feel for them any time that call or non-call is scrutinized.
I might tune in between the commercials this year. Tom did have a take-home message for you to keep in mind when you flip on the game.
Watch the football game, enjoy the game, and don't boo the referees.
I hear you loud and clear, Tom.
If you have a question you cannot find an answer to, you have tried, you've Googled, you've read the Wikipedia entry, you've asked all your friends and family, but no luck, and it's eating you alive, we can help. 833-RING-ELT, 833-RING-ELT.
This episode was produced by Jahi Whitehead, Hadley Robinson, Stephanie Werner, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our editors are Jorge Just and Caitlin Kenny. Scored by Dara Hirsch, Bobby Lord, So Wiley, Billy Libby, and Emma Munger. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. Every Little Thing is a Gimlet production and a Spotify original podcast. Don't go to the light. Goodbye.